In Daniel 7, in verse 25, it says, "He shall speak great words against the Most High." Now this is talking about the fourth beast, which would be the Roman Empire. "He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they will be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times." Now that's 3.5 times, meaning 3.5 years. Virtually all of the Bible scholars would interpret that as meaning 3.5 years. Until the 3.5 years comes. Okay, now that's just one little piece of a bigger puzzle. But let's go over to chapter 9 now. I'm just giving the pieces of the puzzle here. See, it's like God gives clues of what he has in store for the future. In verse 20, "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, well, God sent the angel Gabriel to talk to Daniel, and he brought some information." In verse 22, this is the angel Gabriel now speaking. "He said to me, 'O Daniel, I have come to give you skill and understanding. 70 weeks have been determined upon your people.'" Now that means Israel, because we read who Daniel's people are back in verse 20, where Daniel said he was confessing the sin of my people Israel. Now, verse 24, Gabriel says, 70 weeks have been determined upon your people," that means Israel, "and upon your holy city," that's Jerusalem. What it talks about now is God's plan to save humanity from sin and from death. It's the Holy Day plan. You can read the Holy Day plan into what Gabriel is going to say here. 70 weeks have been determined for your people to end transgression. Imagine that. Now that's the world tomorrow. The 6,000 years of sinful human history will come to an end, and the world tomorrow will be righteous. It'll be on the right track. Until the time comes when sin is all over with, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now, when Jesus died on the cross on the Passover day, that launched God's plan of salvation for all mankind. But it takes a long time to fulfill the holy days. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus died on the cross on the Passover day. But when Jesus fulfilled the Passover, that launched God's plan of salvation for mankind. And by the time the holy days are all fulfilled, I mean when you get to the last great day, which pictures the great white throne period after the millennium, that will conclude God's plan of salvation. But it starts at Jesus' first coming. To make reconciliation for iniquity, see, Jesus died for the sins of all humanity. And to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now imagine that, everlasting righteousness. And to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. That's Jesus. Now, Daniel is going to receive information about how long it would take until Jesus would come at his first coming. And there are going to be 70 weeks of years. So each week represents 7 years. So 70 weeks means 490 years. Now that's going to take you approximately to the time of Jesus' first coming. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince." Now think about how John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus. And in the first chapter of the book of John, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, "This is the Lamb of God who is going to take away the sins of the world." He's God's Passover Lamb. And John the Baptist saw Jesus and announced, This is God's Passover lamb. And it means that when Jesus died and was crucified on the Passover day, that was going to launch God's plan of salvation. God wants to save all people from sin and from death if they will repent of their sins. And Jesus has paid their penalty. Until the Messiah, the Prince, comes, there would be 7 weeks, that means weeks of years, and 62 more weeks. Now that's a total of 69 weeks. Now the 70th week is special. The 70th week would be 7 years, and the prophecy divides that 7 years in half. Now the first half of the 70th week is Jesus' ministry 2,000 years ago. It was his 3.5-year ministry, and it led up to Jesus being crucified, dying on the cross, and then being resurrected from the dead. And then the 70 weeks prophecy goes into hibernation, and then the second half of the 70th week is the 3.5 years leading up to Jesus' second coming. Now that's the 3.5 years at the end of this age. And 3.5 years is 42 months, 1260 days, time, times, and half a time, meaning a year, and then 2 more years, and then a half a year. So it's 3.5 years. That's the last half of the 70th week. But the first half of the 70th week is Jesus' ministry 2,000 years ago. He was about 30 years old when he started his ministry. And that was in 27 A.D. And you can date that in several different ways. We know Jesus started his ministry in 27 A.D. And then he died in 31 A.D. It says there would be 69 weeks until the Messiah would come. Actually, when the Messiah would start his ministry, his 3.5-year ministry. In verse 26 says, then the Messiah would be cut off. That means Jesus died in the middle of the 70th week. And the people of the Prince, that's the Roman Empire, would destroy the city of Jerusalem and the temple. Now that happened in 70 A.D., when the Romans came and destroyed Jerusalem and the second temple. In verse 27, Jesus will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's the 70th week, meaning 7 years. And in the midst or the middle of the week, he will cause the sacrifice and the offerings to cease. Now, all of the Old Testament animal sacrifices were no longer necessary after Jesus died on the cross. When the temple was destroyed in 70 AD and Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans, the Levitical priests didn't have a job anymore. And they couldn't offer their animal sacrifices daily because there was no more temple. It was destroyed. But the church understood that Jesus is our sacrifice now. And his one sacrifice takes the place of the daily sacrifices that existed in the Old Testament. Now Jesus fulfilled the Passover halfway through the 70th week. His 3.5-year ministry was over now, but the second half of that 70th week is yet to come. And it's the 3.5 years leading up to his second coming. So the whole prophecy goes into hibernation. Now, in chapter 11, we go to verse 31, Daniel 11:31, and arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that makes desolate. And then jump to chapter 12. In verse 1, it says, at that time, Michael will stand up, the great prince who stands for the children of your people, and there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, your people, now again, that means Israel, Daniel's people, Israel, At that time your people will be delivered, everyone that is found written in the book. Now that's talking about the second coming of Christ and the time when Israel will be restored after going through the great tribulation. Now, down in verse 6, how long will it be until the end of these things? And I heard the man who was clothed in linen, who was standing on the water, he held up his right hand and his left hand up to heaven and swore by God who lives forever and ever that it will be for a time, times and a half. That's 3.5 years. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things will be finished. The 3.5 years leading up to the second coming of Christ are the great tribulation. Now, earlier in the book of Daniel, it talks about the beast power coming and destroying Israel. Over in chapter 8, in verse 23, Daniel 8:23, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when transgressors have come to their fullness, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. This is the leader of the final resurrection of the Roman Empire. He will be empowered by Satan. His power will be mighty, but not by his own power, and he will destroy wonderfully or phenomenally, and he will prosper and practice, and he will destroy the mighty and the holy people. Now, the seventh resurrection of the Roman Empire is going to be God's spanking stick on end-time Israel, just like Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire came and destroyed Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Jeremiah and King Zedekiah, the last king of Judah there. And God sent Judah into a 70-year captivity and gave Babylon dominion over the earth for 70 years. That was the head of gold in Daniel chapter 2. Anyway, this is talking about the end time, and the final resurrection of the Roman Empire is going to be God's spanking stick to punish Israel. Okay, now back to Daniel 12 and verse 7. Now this angel tells Daniel in verse 7, now he lifts up his two hands up to heaven, and he swears by God who sits on the throne up in heaven, that there will be a 3.5 year period, and when he, meaning the beast power, shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, in other words, to punish end-time Israel, and to launch the great tribulation, which will last for 3.5 years, and it will be the worst time of trouble that ever was or ever will be, as it said in verse 1. We read that already. In verse 1 it said, there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation until that time. When the beast power clobbers Israel, that's going to start the 1260 days, the 3.5 years of end-time Israel's punishment. And why will God allow that? To refine them so that there can be survivors who will become the first generation of the world tomorrow. And that first generation of the world tomorrow is going to be righteous. God says in Ezekiel chapter 20 that first generation of Israel in the world tomorrow will be 100% righteous, because God's going to purge out all the rebels completely before the world tomorrow begins. Now, Jesus fulfilled the Passover 2,000 years ago. He died for the sins of everybody, including Israel. But after Christ's second coming, which will occur on the Day of Trumpets, in God's plan of salvation pictured by the Holy Days, I'm talking about fulfilling the Day of Trumpets in its symbolism and meaning in God's great plan. Now, that's at the second coming of Christ, at the seventh trumpet. The Day of Trumpets will be fulfilled, and then comes the Day of Atonement. On that Day of Atonement, Christ's sacrifice will be applied to the survivors of the Great Tribulation. And it says in Jeremiah 50, verse 20, that if you try to find any sin in Israel at that point, you won't find any, because it says, I will pardon those whom I allow to survive. And God will apply Jesus' sacrifice, which happened 2,000 years ago, to the 12 tribes of Israel at that time, and they'll be totally forgiven of their sins, and then Jesus will lead them into the world tomorrow, and they'll become the first generation. And the Bible says Jesus will love them. They'll be very dear and near to Jesus' heart. He'll be the high priest for them, and the high priest wears on his chest something that has 12 jewels on it that have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And that represents how Jesus is going to love the 12 tribes of Israel, the 144,000 who become the first generation of restored Israel in the world tomorrow. But it says, the angel lifted up his hands to heaven and swore by God that it would be for 3.5 years, a time times and a half. And when the beast power shall have attacked and destroyed end time Israel, all these things will be finished, which means you start counting 1260 days. Now, before the 1260 days, there's a 30-day period. Let's just jump down to verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and that means when the true religion can no longer be practiced openly, because those daily sacrifices of the Old Testament represent Christ's sacrifice of the New Testament. Now, we're supposed to pray daily. We ask God to forgive our sins, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. We pray daily and ask God to apply Jesus' sacrifice to us daily. Now, that's in the New Testament. That's what the Old Testament daily sacrifices pictured. Now, to be a true member of the true church means we're doing that, and we're being led by God's Holy Spirit. Now, that's the true religion. Now, the true church will not be able to function openly when the 1290 days begins, which is 30 days before the Great Tribulation begins. So from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, that's the false religion. That's the official religion of the Roman Empire. It's false Christianity. It's the abomination of desolation, and that is going to be enforced on the world scene beginning 30 days before the Great Tribulation starts. That's when the 1290 days begins. Nobody will be able to practice the true religion openly after the 1290 days begins, which means you better be in a place of safety before the 1290 days. And then when the 1260 days begins, all hell will break loose on Earth. It'll be World War III. There'll be nuclear bombs going off all over the place. But 30 days before that time, the false religion will be set up, and the beast power will back up the false religion. It's going to be a horrible time. Then in verse 12, it says, blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. Now that's 45 days before the 1,290 days begins. So that's about a month and a half. Now the time to flee to a place of safety is in that 45-day period before the abomination of desolation becomes enforced upon the people of the earth. I believe that the sign that the 1335 days begins is the fourth trumpet in Revelation chapter 8. And the Bible says to watch and be counting. First you count the first six seals, and then you count the first six trumpets, and then you count the first six of the last plagues, and then you come to 666. And that's when Jesus comes and destroys the beast power and Babylon. So it says the beast's days are numbered. So you count. Now, when you get to the sixth seal and you start counting the trumpets and you see the first, second, and third trumpets being fulfilled because you're watching world events, and then you get to the fourth trumpet and it's heavenly signs. It says the sun and the moon will be darkened. But that's the sign. then you know that it's time to flee, because the 1,335 days are going to begin. Because when you get to the fifth trumpet, that's when all hell breaks loose on the earth. Okay, so blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. That means stay close to God, walk with God, you know, like Abraham did and Noah did and Mr. Armstrong did, you know, and the Apostle Paul did. Stay close to God, be a true member of the true church, all the way up to the beginning of the 1,335 days. And then if you're watching the world events and you're counting, and you know how to count and what to count, and you know where you're at, and you know this is it, this is the 1,335 days, you got 45 days to get to the place of safety, wherever that's going to be. You can buy your airline ticket, because in the book of Revelation, it says nobody will be able to buy or sell when that time comes, when the beast power and the beast religion is enforced over the world. God will reveal where to go. He'll make it known to his church. And then it's time to get out. Get out of there before your country is attacked by nuclear weapons. So you have this countdown. So blessed is he who waits, you know, and endures in the church until the 1,335 days begins. And then God tells Daniel that he's going to die and then wake up in the resurrection at the second coming of Christ. Let's go over to Matthew 24 for a moment. Matthew 24. Now, here's an interesting side point. In chapter 23, picking it up in verse 37, Matthew 23, 37, Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and the ones that I send you, how often I wanted to gather your children together, just like a mother hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but you wouldn't come. So your house remains desolate. God has not restored Israel yet. For I say to you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Now God's going to send the two witnesses. People are going to have to start listening. Even the church. You know, the Bible casts the two witnesses as two olive trees that give olive oil that light up the menorah, the lampstand in the temple. The lampstand has seven lamps on it, and they represent the seven churches of the book of Revelation there. At the end of the age, you're going to have these seven churches, or seven categories of people that all the true members of the true church fall into. And a lot of them are falling short. You know, they've got problems. They've lost their first love. They're lukewarm. Well, some of them are on the right track, though. The Philadelphians are on the right track. And so God says he'll protect them from the great tribulation. These two witnesses, they're going to be giving good instruction to the seven churches in the book of Revelation there at the end time. So it says that pipes or tubes come out of the two olive trees, and they send olive oil that light up the seven churches at the end of the age. So the church is going to have to listen and learn from the two witnesses, but then so is the world, because they're going to be preaching the true gospel. And it says God will give them the power to send plagues on the people of the earth. Then it says the beast power will come along and in the end kill them, but they'll be resurrected 3 days later. That's at the second coming of Christ. Now all of that happens during the 3.5 years, you see, of the 70th week, the second half of the 70th week leading up to the second coming of Christ. So God has the last 3.5 years well planned out. In chapter 24, Jesus tells the disciples that the second temple is going to be destroyed. It says Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him. And in verse 2, Jesus said, "Do you see all these things? There won't be left one stone on another. They're all going to be destroyed." That happened in 70 AD. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will these things be?" In Acts chapter 1, don't turn there, the disciples asked Jesus, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. God the Father is maintaining control over that. There's another place, even in Matthew 24, where it says the angels don't know, and even Jesus doesn't know. But God the Father does know when the time will come. So God's keeping it to himself until the right time comes, and then he'll divulge that information. So they said, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your second coming and the end of the age? And he said, now take heed, don't let anybody deceive you. And I'm just going to drop down now. Verse 11. Many false teachers will come along and deceive many, and because iniquity will abound. Now, iniquity means anomia in the Greek language. It's the flagrant defiance of the known will of God. Now, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that ministers are going to say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, depart from me, you who practice anomia, iniquity, lawlessness. They teach the broad way instead of the narrow way. He said, you didn't do my Father's will. And Jesus warns everybody not to follow that type of leader. They teach the broad way, that you don't have to obey God. Jesus said, if you hear my words and keep them, you're building your house on a rock-solid foundation. And if you don't, then you're building your house, which means your life, on sand. But because iniquity will abound, or lawlessness, or the flagrant defiance of the known will of God, in other words, they don't obey God's government. Jesus said, it is written, man shall live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That's the Bible. But because iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold. We're living in that time right now with all this confusion and church divisions. But he who endures to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world for a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Now God sent the true gospel for over 50 years through Mr. Armstrong, in addition to having preached it through the original apostles all around the world 2,000 years ago. And then when they died, the true gospel, which is the good news of the world tomorrow, got stamped out. You know, the doctrine of Christ's reign on the earth got stamped out. Edward Gibbons said in the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire book, the doctrine of Christ's reign on earth was at first treated like a profound allegory, was by degrees viewed as a doubtless and useless opinion, and at length was rejected as the absurd invention of heresy and fanaticism. And Mr. Armstrong said, and that's how Christianity lost the gospel. The good news of the world tomorrow, the doctrine of Christ's coming reign on the earth. They did away with it. They teach that you just go to heaven when you die. They don't say anything about Jesus coming back to the earth to set up God's government over all nations, to be the king over all the earth. Zechariah 14:9 says that. You know, in Isaiah 2 and in Micah 4, it says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established at the top of the mountains, and people will flow to it, and they'll say, let's go up to the mountain. God will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. The law of God will go forth from Jerusalem, and he will rebuke the nations, and they'll stop making war against each other. Now Jesus is going to come back and enforce God's government over all nations. Now that's the gospel of the kingdom of God. It's going to be preached around the whole world, and then the end will come. So verse 15, this is what I was leading up to. When you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those on the housetop not come down to take anything. In other words, get out of there. When the time comes, get out of there. Verse 21, for then will be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, and never will be again. And unless those days are shortened, no flesh would be saved. In other words, every human being on the face of the earth would die, unless God shortens the great tribulation. Now there have to be survivors, and that's why the gospel has to be preached at the end of the age. It says in the book of Ezekiel, they have to know that they were told. They will know that there's been a prophet among them. They have to hear it, because God will judge who may survive the great tribulation based on how people respond to his message. And if they repent and turn to God, then they can live on into the world tomorrow. And if they don't, then they'll be snuffed out by the great tribulation. Let's just go to Luke 17 for a moment. In verse 20, and when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, see, Jesus was representing the kingdom of God at that time, at his first coming. Jesus was the grain of mustard seed beginning, and the church is the kingdom of God in embryo, Mr. Armstrong said. Wherever the true church is right now, that is the kingdom of God in embryo, if it follows the government of God. Down in verse 26, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying, and until the day Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. And likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking and doing stuff. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. That's the way it will be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his stuff is in the house, don't come down to get your stuff. Just get out of there. Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. She wanted to turn around and go back into Sodom. She didn't want to leave. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. I tell you, in that night there will be two people. One will be taken and the other will be left. In other words, one will be taken to a place of safety and the other will be destroyed. Two will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Two will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Now, when the 3.5 years begins, you better have gotten out of there already. When the 1,335 days begins, you've got 45 days to get to a place of safety. When the 1,290 days begins, it'll be too late, and the false religion will be enforced over the earth. And if there are true members of the true church who were lukewarm, if they'd lost their love, and they didn't get to a place of safety in time, they're going to be martyred after the 1290 days begins, because the beast power will put them to death for keeping the Sabbath and being a true member of the true church, because you're not going to be allowed to practice it openly. So you better be in a place of safety by that time. And when the 1260 days begins, that's world war, nuclear World War III. Now, to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is about things that must shortly take place, and it's about God's countdown in the end times here, the 3.5 years leading up to the second coming of Christ, the Day of Trumpets. In chapter 11, there was given me a reed like a rod, and the angel stood and said, measure the temple of God. That's the church of God. Verse 2, but the court outside the temple, leave that out. Don't measure it. It's given to the Gentiles, and the holy city they will tread underfoot 42 months. 42 months is the same as 3.5 years. And when it talks about the holy city, it implies all 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel will be trodden underfoot for 42 months. Read Ezekiel chapters 4 and 5 carefully, and you'll see that the city of Jerusalem pictures all 12 tribes of Israel in the end time. God told Ezekiel to make a model of Jerusalem, get down on his knees, and bash it with some kind of a device, like a frying pan or something, to smash the model of Jerusalem, and to lie on his left side for the house of Israel, on the right side for the house of Judah, because Ezekiel was picturing Babylon destroying the real Jerusalem in the days of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and that pictures what God's going to do to all 12 tribes of Israel during the Great Tribulation. Jerusalem pictures all 12 tribes, and they'll be trodden underfoot 42 months. And Mr. Armstrong understood that. When Mr. Armstrong was explaining Luke 21, he mentioned clearly that Jerusalem pictures the entirety of end-time Israel. Verse 3, "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days. That's the second half of the 70th week of the 70 weeks prophecy. Now, Jesus' first coming was the first 3.5 years of that 7-year period, the 70th week. And then the last half of the 70th week is this 3.5 years leading up to the second coming of Christ. So 1260 days, the two witnesses will be prophesying. These are the two olive trees. If anybody wants to hurt them, God's going to give them power to send plagues on the earth. In chapter 11, verse 15, the seventh angel sounded, that's the seventh trumpet, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. That's when the Day of Trumpets is fulfilled historically now. Jesus will rule over the earth. So it's the doctrine of Christ's coming reign on earth that Satan, he buried it, and Christianity lost it. But Christ is going to come and be the king over all the earth. But in chapter 12, in verse 6, it says, "The woman fled to the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, and they will feed her there 1,260 days. 1,260 days. And in verse 14, it says, "To the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly to the wilderness, to her place where she will be nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent." So that's pretty much all the scriptures, all the pieces of the puzzle for putting this end time scenario together. So you've got 1,335 days, 1,290 days, and 1,260 days. They all end at the second coming of Christ, and they're all about this 3.5-year period leading up to Christ's second coming, the Day of Trumpets. And in that time, the trumpets will be fulfilled, and you can be counting the seals and the trumpets and the seven last plagues. It's a countdown to the second coming of Christ and the fall of Babylon. Now Babylon will fall, and then Israel will be restored, and the wonderful world tomorrow will begin. Mr. Armstrong told the graduating seniors in 1973, in his baccalaureate sermon on the Sabbath day, the day before the graduation exercises on the Ambassador campus, he said, "Always keep your eye on the kingdom of God as your lifetime goes along. It's like in sports. You've got to keep your eye on the ball, or you'll miss it. Keep in mind that the great tribulation will come. It'll be the worst time of history that ever was or ever will be. But it'll be followed by the best time of history, the wonderful world tomorrow. Keep your eye on the ball and live your life in expectation of these things that are going to come. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Ask God to keep you in his church, to keep you under his government and on the right track." The last verse of Mark 13, Jesus tells his disciples, he said, "What I say to you, I say to everybody, watch.